ain't the kind to wear a tie. Button up from 9 to 5. I tried that life but said goodbye. I'm not always polite, but I get the job done. Who says that work can never be fun? I'm simply unprofessional.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Simply Unprofessional. I'm your host, Webby, and joining me tonight, we got Devin.
I'm back.
You are back. Mr. Edquist has filled in for you for the last 2 weeks.
Trying to steal my spot.
He is. And we also have John.
Hello, everyone.
And tonight, we have a very special guest with us from Anxiety Gaming. We have Jason Docton. Did I get the last name right?
You did. Hello.
All right. So real quick, John, let's, for our charity stream in December, our 24-hour Twitch stream, for the previous 2 years, we've worked with the Children's Miracle Foundation, or Children's Miracle Network. This year, we decided to take a step back from that and try something different, and you ventured out towards anxiety gaming. So why don't you talk a little bit about how you stumbled upon them and our transition into that whole thing.
So there's a little bit of irony here because everybody involved with this transition actually is here on this call almost. So how this occurred was last year, after we did the last live stream in 2016, we kind of had a discussion amongst ourselves about kind of what we wanted to do, whether we wanted to stick working with Extra Life, we wanted to do something different. And one of the things that we sort of all felt very strongly about was mental health issues and trying to work something in around those and trying to help people out. I mean, we've enjoyed Extra Life. They did a really good job helping us out with our first few streams and getting us kind of sorted. But we kind of wanted to stretch our legs and try something different. And as well, open it up so that people internationally would have an opportunity to feel like they're receiving something. One of the things that we struggled with this, with Extra Life, was that we'd only be able to help a few hospitals and not the whole, there wasn't really a central donation point. So it was difficult to say to somebody in the UK, oh, hey, would you help out with this hospital in the middle of, say, Canada? So we kind of thought that it would be good to kind of talk to other people. So with that being the case, and having talked to the group, we then kind of went around trying to figure out where, what we were looking for and kind of which groups to work with. And we kind of went around. And one of the biggest things that we thought about is we really wanted to not have us collecting the money and in any way be in charge of that. We didn't want anything. We wanted to be hands off. We wanted to let a third party do it that was actually professional and actually able to give tax receipts for those that could get them. And we wouldn't have to be responsible for any of that. So that was a big part of it. So in looking around, it turned out that Devin found an organization called Tiltify. And when we found Tiltify and started to look at what they did, we felt they were a good match for what we were kind of looking for, because we wanted people to be able to donate using PayPal or credit cards or not being restricted to one or the other, which was kind of the problem we had with a few of the other groups. And then once we got to that, it was easy enough to look and say, okay, what groups make sense for us? And after going through a number, that's when we found Anxiety Gaming. And it was actually through that I started having conversations with various people there and really got to know the organization, got to know some of the people involved, listened to Jason on one of his live streams talking about the organization in general, and really became convinced that this was a good fit for us and a good, you know, that we could do something that I think has value to the organization and has value to us, because, you know, we love doing these live streams. They're a lot of fun, but I mean, part of the fun is being able to raise money and being able to show that we can contribute in ways beyond just entertaining people. So that was a big part of it for us. And last year we raised $1,000 for Extra Life. So I've gone and set a very ambitious goal of doubling that to $2,000 this year. And to this point, we've got $810. So we're doing okay at this stage. So hopefully we can get that record again and be able to top our original goal.
So Jason, you are the founder of Anxiety Gaming, correct?
Yes.
Why don't you give us a little brief history on how you came about and how it got founded and what it is exactly that your organization does?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I founded Anxiety Gaming almost 10 years ago, and I founded it kind of as a I think a result of the current state of mental health care and so many of the resources that are out there that are supposed to be there for us to lean on and depend on, but just haven't. You know, I was battling with agoraphobia at the time, which to put it shortly, is just I was stuck at home, and anytime I tried to leave home, I thought I was going to die, and I was dealing with obsessive compulsive disorder, and I thought everything I touched I was going to have some kind of major allergic reaction to, and you know, but the mix of these issues and the depression that came with it took my life completely out of my hands. You know, I didn't know what to do for so many years. And again, I really couldn't find any help anywhere, anything realistic for somebody in such an extreme circumstances myself. So I thought to myself, I'm just not going to live this way anymore, and going to exercise what I thought was the only control over I had over my life. And I had this just really wild thought in my head where I was like, well, you know, I can't do anything too rash unless I help somebody else in some way. If I could save somebody's life, I could justify taking my own. And so the only thing I really had going on at the time was playing video games. So I started to just say it in every group chat that I was in. And I was mainly playing World of Warcraft, so it was in every pugged raid or any dungeon or any battleground or arena. I would just say, hey, you know, if you ever need someone to talk to, just add me and we'll talk. And I did this for weeks and weeks and weeks, and, you know, finally somebody had added me. And we talked a little bit on Skype, and they were going through a really rough breakup and didn't want to live anymore if they couldn't be with that person. And you know, we kept talking over and over again, and every day we would talk for hours upon hours. And you know, we came to this really powerful conclusion that if love was worth dying for, then love was certainly worth living for. And he, you know, agreed that he had started to feel much better, and that thought of being in love again was worth continuing forward. And so I felt, you know, my work is done here. Okay, I've helped somebody. Now, you know, now I can, you know, deal with my own situation. And I hadn't really logged on any of the video games since I started talking with this man, because we're just talking so often. And when I logged back on, I realized that a ton of people had added me, and there was almost this endless wave of conversation for weeks upon weeks, until, you know, I went from, you know, how can I end my own life to how can I help so many people live theirs? And just about everything since then has just been an evolution of what I have found to be the most effective ways to help people. And, you know, talking is helpful, but seeing a professional is even more helpful. And, you know, seeing a professional is hard to get started on. So helping people find professionals is very helpful. But then finding professionals and being able to pay for professional care is really expensive. So we're just going to start covering the cost of professional care. And, you know, we've hit a point where if we can do that part, if we can help you find somebody near you, and if we can cover the cost of care for you, then there are no more barriers standing between you and the life that you want to live. You know, it just comes down to you. And that's exactly how it should be. There shouldn't be any other barrier. So that's where we are now. And our ambitious goal is to just continue to shape the mental health care system and just make this a free thing, something that you just do when you feel like you need to.
Yeah, that's awesome. You this is definitely when John told me about this charity and your organization, it was something that I hadn't really heard of before. And it made sense immediately. Like, some of my strongest friendships that I have in my life, I've gotten through video games. WoW being one of them. I'm a big WoW fan. So I can definitely understand how, you know, for me, I suffer from anxiety and depression. And it's a way to keep my mind occupied. And before you know it, I am talking about it with other people. And it makes you feel good. I mean, it's definitely, it's like being in a high pressure, you know, pipe, and then just having that little bit of a release valve, even if it's momentary. And I think it's awesome that you guys go even a step farther and help people find professional care and assist people with paying for it who can't afford it. That's awesome, man. John, you have a question?
Yeah, so I guess further to, and maybe in a way, I guess you probably answered this already, but just kind of to go back a little bit, what do you find is your favorite thing about working for the organization?
My favorite part is being able to watch people make those first initial steps and see the difference that it has on their health. I worked with people struggling with just anything that you can think of at this point. We've helped 26,000 people, you know, find their way forward, and I've been a part of every single one of those cases. And you know, I'm watching people who, like myself, have been trapped at home for so many years make the first few steps out of their house and have that moment, you know, where they see that life is just this beautiful thing that's right there and waiting for them to take advantage of it. And you know, I've watched people who can't eat and have struggled to eat their whole lives and have had their diet and that be the whole center focus of everything they do start to become one of the most wholesome and enjoyable things that they can do. And I've watched the inverse happen as well. People whose lives controlled by food in such a negative way find mastery over that and, you know, be able to find that freedom and the discipline of it. It just doesn't really fade away. Every experience is just so genuinely human, and it's one of those feels moments every single time, and definitely my favorite part.
Awesome.
Devin, you got a question?
Actually, he answered it. I was going to ask, you know, how many people going, you know, have you helped in an average about each year? But you answered that. You said, what was it, 26,000?
Yeah, we've helped an enormous amount of people, and I think probably my biggest frustration in doing what we do is there's just it's an endless battle. There really is no end in sight for us, and you know, we're so very limited in what we can do. You know, I think at most we can get up to about 150 applications a week, and these are people whose lives are all there and crumbling, and they're looking for any kind of respite from that pain. And you know, when we're faced with a situation of we can't afford it, or you know, we're just too understaffed because of financial stuff, it's always very frustrating to deal with, but certainly amazing to see how many people are ready to take on that battle and ready to get started.
Right on. Now, you guys are out of California, correct?
Yeah. We're based in Los Angeles, but we function just about everywhere you can think of. We've helped people in Canada, Mexico, Pakistan. You name it. We've been in some of the most interesting places working with all kinds of amazing different cultural buffers that we, you know, have had to get used to and understand, you know, helping somebody in South Korea is very different than helping somebody, you know, here in the U.S. or in Canada. Helping someone in Pakistan is incredibly unique in relation to helping someone in Denmark. It's such a really cool experience to kind of go past those borders and help people with their unique issues.
So for those out there who are suffering from like social anxiety, you know, severe depression and some of these other mental illnesses, what advice would you give them?
Yeah. You know, I would hope that anybody that's dealing with these issues, the second you hear this and have that realization that this sounds like what you're going through and what you're experiencing, to really acknowledge that is an issue at hand. I know a lot of the times we're just not really ready to admit that we need help, that what we're going through is something that really hurts us and causes us pain. You know, therapy and moving forward with therapy is such a unique experience. It's not somebody, you know, carrying you through it. It's not an admittance of weakness or even, you know, an acceptance of help in this kind of in this weak form. Really, it takes a huge amount of courage, strength to go through therapy, because therapy challenges everything that you hold, everything that you believe. It challenges the logic that has set into motion a lot of the pain that you're feeling. I encourage people to welcome that challenge and to, you know, take that risk. For a lot of people, it's you know, it's really outside of their comfort zone. But if, you know, you're able to immediately identify as somebody that is dealing with depression or dealing with anxiety, that you find your way into that process, no matter how uncomfortable it feels, and to also acknowledge that I don't think too many of the people that I've ever helped thought they were ready. And I know when I personally started my path to recovery, I never thought. I don't think waiting to feel like it's the right time is going to happen. For some people, it'll randomly click and you'll feel like you just have to do it. But for most people, it starts when you decide to. So I encourage people to do that. You know, to be really aware of where you are in any given moment mentally and physically. You know, if you're not sleeping well, if you're, you know, taking a lot of sugar and sodium, if you are unbalanced in your diet and physical health, that, you know, your mental health will continue to decline with that. And so I encourage those same people who identify as depressed and anxious or have been diagnosed to really focus on getting their sleep together and in any way possible to get their diet under control, to walk regularly, and to just generally attempt to live that healthier lifestyle, and you'll notice a huge difference in your mental health almost immediately.
John?
Yeah, that's interesting. So one of the things that we've had happen in the past, and thank goodness we have some good people that are willing to help out when we have these problems, but it's something I think in communities like ours and in gaming communities and streaming communities in general is, how do we create a community that's mostly supportive, and how would you suggest dealing with people who are, well, let's put it this way, more about trying to create trouble and make people unhappy and seem to take joy in that particular process? Do you have suggestions that you could offer in that front or anything that, as I know you guys have a Discord server that you guys run, and I'm pretty sure it's pretty well patrolled as far as that goes, but if you have some suggestions, that would be certainly welcome, I'm sure, for some of our listeners.
Yeah, absolutely. Communities and community engagement is always an amazing thing. It's a very particular approach that you have to take if you really want to control some of that chaos. And, you know, when there's no boundaries, when there's no rules, when there's just kind of that openness, a lot of people will test everything that they can try and find reinforcement in various ways. And the second something gets reinforced, they will stick with that kind of behavior. And if that's being toxic or trolling people, and it gets acknowledged in, you know, any way that they can take from that, it really does begin to facilitate those issues being part of the server. One of the things that we do with our server is our server is really focused on getting better. It's not necessarily focused on feeling depressed, not necessarily focused on feeling anxious. It's battling those and it's overcoming those. And so you'll see people on our server are rewarded when they make any attempt whatsoever to conquer and move past those issues. When they make any attempts, whether they succeed or fail, it's rewarded. And so much of the dialogue surrounding that is people talking about their day and you know, and saying, you know, hey, I tried to have a really good day. It was rough, but I'm still fighting for it. And everybody will praise them. And some people will celebrate some of their victories and everybody will praise them and jump up. And so the community has just become focused on that and surrounds that. You know, when you're building a community that you're trying to keep safe and healthy and positive, you know, it's really having those core values constantly praised and constantly rewarded, and watching as people who, you know, maybe in other servers might be, you know, more of a troll or even kind of toxic, starting to see that the attention that they get for being positive is rewarded, and that's something that they'll want to do. Leveling systems and Discords for getting positive things. There's bots that can even give things like flowers or cookies, things that, you know, little virtual things along those lines. That really goes a long way. And when there's an issue on the Discord, really being open to communicating and talking about how everybody feels given what has happened, what people would like to see as a resolution, compromising with each other, and anyone that's just not willing to give that a chance in any way, not having them in the community. It always sucks to, you know, not include somebody. It's always difficult when somebody really just doesn't fit. But if it's, you know, them not fitting because they're harming other people or exposing people to things that make them uncomfortable regularly, you know, then that kind of regulation is one of those that's necessary.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate that.
So, excuse me. You said that you started off, essentially, you started this whole thing playing WoW, which I don't knock. I still play WoW. Now, do you guys still have a very strong online presence in, like, the video game field? And if so, what games do you have a presence in, or what are some of your top games that you have a presence in or a community?
Yeah, you know, we used to be really, really big in World of Warcraft. We had a very dominant community, and we had the most interesting source of funding for a short time where, you know, our guild would have, like we had in Mists of Pandaria, we had Gary on farm. In Heroic and Mythic, whatever it was, we just downed content really, really quickly. And so we would help people get boosted. And we would sell boosts to people, or we would boost people going through our programs just to give them, you know, a reward for taking that step. But we funded a solid portion of people's therapy by getting people geared through World of Warcraft raiding, which was a ton of fun. But, you know, over time, my time started to become less and less involved in World of Warcraft and more involved in helping people move forward. So, you know, when I started to pull away from a lot of the gaming, a lot of those groups started to kind of slow down, and we switched focus to being very much present in the live events. So we'll have members who represent us across various games like League of Legends. Still in World of Warcraft, we have multiple guilds. I mean, those are probably the biggest ones where you'll find people from our community who are very active and talking to other people about what we do. But you'll most likely find us at you know, E3 and PAX, TwitchCon, MomoCon, and just about all of the major conventions, you know, where gamers are gathering together and, you know, open to this kind of unique experience. That's a lot of the source of finding us in the community.
Awesome. Devin, you got a question yet?
No, I mean, he's hitting all the notes, you know, I'm good. And it's, you know, I'm just kind of soaking it all in, listening, you know, just getting kind of what he's gone.
You go. Oh,
back.
Sorry, disconnected for a second.
Oh, good. Yeah, no, I'm just kind of soaking it all in, just, you know, just listening to all the points. You know, this is very not only informative for people out there listening, informative for me. Yeah, so no, I don't have any questions, but trust me, if I have something, I'll chime in and get you going.
John?
Yeah, no, I agree with Devin. I think the best thing for me in this kind of situation is that, you know, I've had relatives and friends and hell, to be honest, even myself, who've gone through difficult times, who've had depression, who've had anxiety, who've had all of this bucket of things, and so much of what's got a lot of people through their life is the things that we've talked about here. And I really feel grateful that we're able to kind of be involved with this, because I really, if anything, I feel even more strongly that we're involved with the right people and we're doing something worthwhile and worth doing. And I would encourage anybody who wants to get involved with this kind of group, because really it's the only way that we can give back is to help people and do what we can. So definitely, for sure, I'm learning a lot here. I don't know if you have any more questions, Webby, that you wanted to ask, or?
Well, I mean, there is one written down here. So we, as a podcasting community, we chose to do our charity stream and raise money for Anxiety Gaming this year. Now, for all of those out there who are listening to this and are considering donating, what does the money that people donate go towards? Like, where does that traffic of money go?
Yeah, that's an amazing question, and, you know, always something that we encourage people to ask before they donate to really any charity, is where does that funding go? You know, in the funding for us, we function with a 100% model, which means 100% of your donation goes to the actual cause. That's not something that gets put towards administrative costs, whether that's the website or someone's salary. We believe very strongly that we need to create and facilitate a system that enables people to directly help the gaming community. Your donation will go towards the cost of recovery for someone who you maybe have played games with, maybe is on your friends list, is someone that you may regularly talk to. That is what you get to do with that money, is we're just going to cover the cost of therapy for those that need it.
That's awesome. And that's, I mean, for somebody who, I mean, it took me a long time to even consider therapy. And you said it perfectly earlier, and it's just, you have to acknowledge that you have these thoughts, and that you yourself have to be ready to move forward and take that initial step forward. For me, I know personally, my biggest struggle for years was the fact that I was in denial about it the whole time. I knew that I had problems, but I felt like I had enough willpower or mental strength and determination to beat it without help. And just, it took me forever to open up with people and to actually admit what I was feeling, what I was going through. I mean, for people to feel that way and then want to take that step but feel like they can't, this is the perfect charity. You know, if they just feel like they're not in a financial state to be able to reach out for professional help. And I mean, like I said earlier, when John approached me earlier this year about, or maybe even late last year, about switching to this charity, I was all aboard. This definitely hits very, very close to home with me. And it's a charity that I can definitely stand behind. So,
thank you for that. I really appreciate it.
No, thank you, honestly.
Yeah, we're really happy to be working with you guys. I felt nothing but a great deal of love and respect and a willingness to help us help you. And I think that in our, you know, it's a hard thing to kind of find the right fit, but I really do feel very positive about how this has all been working. And really, we've been actually very much received a lot of good things because of it. I mean, we've got a excellent package for people who donate that they can receive if they're gamers, if they're people who just like to do role-playing games, if they're people who like to read books, and or they just want some merchandise, we can give them all of those things for $10. And to me, that idea, obviously in a draw sense, but you know what I mean, that kind of thing we wouldn't have been able to do last year, and came about because of working with you guys and coming up with ideas and working with your colleagues in the organization, running past them ideas, seeing kind of kicking around what solutions we could come up with and how best to work on things. And I'm really proud of what we've been able to do, and I'm really happy with everybody that we've worked with, both within our own organization who are willing to put out the time and the effort and donate their own money, as well as making sure that we get the message out as much as possible. And in the case of your guys being able to help us, to offer us, you know, advice and things that we can use and suggestions and all of those kind of things are so important to our being able to do this. And I can say nothing but good things.
I thank you guys so much for being involved. And, you know, I'm really glad and honored that, you know, our team has been just as helpful for you guys in making sure that this was smooth and accessible and, you know, something that we can really do and have be successful. You know, it always pains me that our care system is closed at least temporarily right now, due to the amount of work that we already have on hand. But it's such an incredible thing to look up and see people still supported and, you know, enable us to help more and more people and, you know, to keep that system going and open and accessible for all of those that really need help.
Right on. All right. Absolutely. So Jason, now that we got all the easy questions out of the way for you, okay, I got a two-part, really, really difficult question for you. All right. So the first part is, do you still play games, say, to relax or for your own personal, you know, amusement or entertainment? And part two, what are some of your favorite games to play?
Yeah. So, yes, I still play. I'm one of those gamers that just has quickly started to jump on the board game train and been playing a lot of tabletop games lately, but you know, video games have always been a part of my life. My favorite games to play is still World of Warcraft. Legion is an incredible expansion with awesome content. And I'm really, really looking forward to the new expansion. And looking forward to hearing about it at BlizzCon this weekend. I play a lot of League of Legends. I think just how toxic that game is. Anybody there that can have a positive attitude is slowly combating that. And lately, Mario Odyssey is something that I've been playing after work much as possible. I just love throwing his hat around.
Nice. I know two of those games. I don't know what Mario Odyssey is, so.
Oh.
I'm guessing it's a Mario game.
Mario. Yeah.
It's the latest.
Pretty good.
It's a.
Go ahead.
It's the latest game for Switch.
Oh, I see. I don't even know what a Switch is. This is how old I am, John. Okay.
Okay, yeah, sure, okay. Sure. It makes me feel bad now.
You can't say that when John's around. You know that.
I know, yeah. It's, like, rude.
I don't know. I'm assuming Switch is the next thing past the Wii.
Yes. Right. Wii U, even. Yeah, my goodness.
Whatever. I don't know. Whatever. Yeah. I just bought a 2DS or a
3DS?
Well, it was a 3DS, but without the 3D thing. It was literally just a 2DS.
Yeah, it's a 2DS. Yes, you know what we call that in my household?
What?
The toast. Because it kind of looks like a piece of bread.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that.
So, I mean, that's all the questions I had. I was exceptionally proud of that last one. Throw that out there.
I'm waiting for the last one, you know. That one that we were discussing earlier.
Oh boy.
You told me, John.
I'm gonna let you do it. Just keep it in the bounds. That's all I'm saying.
All right.
Let's just keep it PG. Let's go on.
All right. So Jason, I gotta give you a little bit of a brief history real quick as to how this whole thing happened. Right? John he talked me out of quote unquote forgetting about doing my sign off this way. So ever since the first episode of, even before Simply Unprofessional, I went by another name on this podcast. We have this ongoing war between me and two other members of Distractions Media. They're huge Booster Gold fans. I'm not. I don't know. Do you know who Booster Gold is? Let's start with that question.
I do not.
Okay, that's fine. I'm going to explain some stuff to you real quick. Comic books, are you a Marvel DC fan?
Yeah. I'm very much into the DC side.
Okay, DC. Booster Gold is a DC superhero.
Okay.
Now, essentially, me personally, I hate this guy. I hate the way he looks. I hate the way he sounds. I hate his whole gimmick. He's from the future. He worked at a superhero museum. And he stole a bunch of superhero gadgets and stuff and traveled back in time to solve crimes to become strictly to become famous. Okay. So he's a superhero who just wants fame. I think that's poor form. I don't like him. So every time I have a guest on Simply Unprofessional, I try my hardest. And some people, cough, John, might call it strong arming, but I try to get them to join my side of this Booster Gold argument. Generally, I try to have them say a very specific line, but because John is trying to keep this kind of PG-13-ish, I was wondering
more
if you
PG than 13.
I was wondering if you would do me the honor of joining my side in this fight and saying, to heck with Booster Gold. The pressure's on, Jason.
Well, I mean, let's approach this from the behavioral side. Let's think about this for a moment. So Booster Gold is a kind of an anti-hero. He's not a conventional one. He's not this perfect guy who's out doing these wonderful things just to be a good guy. He's kind of an average human being who would take advantage of a situation to benefit themselves, which is, I like that that's very human of him. I don't know. I'm actually really intrigued by the idea of him having access to so many superheroes' items. Like,
okay, let me ask you this then. Who's your favorite DC superhero?
Batman?
Batman hates this guy.
I think Batman would hate most people.
True.
Seems to.
I mean, I'm not going to argue that fact. That's one of the things I like most about Batman.
uh,
Okay.
I think you're losing this one.
I'm trying to come up with a convincing argument to win this over.
Does he have the bat belt?
No.
So what does he have then? Like what kind of tools of other superheroes is he equipped with?
He took a suit from like an unknown hero at a time, or he took tech off of other heroes and made a suit. Essentially, he wears this gold and blue suit, this golden navy suit. That's why he's called Booster Gold.
Giant star.
He flies. He can fly.
Not gonna
around.
Lie, Jason. The guy looks like a douchebag.
He kind of has he can shoot energy blasts out of his hands. I think the suit alters his strength a little bit. He can fly, and he has a robot named Skeets. This talking flying robot named Skeets.
Did you ever see the old school, like the 90s X-Men cartoons?
Yeah.
With Cyclops in the blue suit. He's essentially wears the same thing, just blue and gold.
With a star.
With a star on his chest.
So the star is actually what I like the least about him right now. I think that's really just kind of tacky. I don't know if I hate this guy. I think he's interesting so far. I would love to see him use this, but at the same time, I think... So he's kind of got that Superman syndrome where he does everything. I know one of my favorite comedians, he has this bit. He does kind of look... Mm-hmm. He looks like if Johnny Cage was a superhero.
Yes.
he acts just like that. That is a great example.
Ooh, he thinks he's better than everybody, and it's just... He tries to please everybody by being so good, but he puts himself out there as a pompous ass, so nobody, everyone just kind of pushes him at arm's length.
That is true. That is
a fact. Yeah, I don't know. When I think about him having so many powers, I think of that comedian and he's at the movies with his friends and he's watching the Superman movie. And there's the scene where somebody fires a bullet straight at Superman's face and it hits his eye, bounces off, and the guy just stands up in his seat and says, "That would never happen." And it's like, this, he's been flying most of the movie and like picking up cars, but like that was the breaking point for this guy. No one can stop a bullet. I feel like I would run into that moment with this guy pretty often where he's just, so in his particular universe, like everybody, like all of the civilians, they know he's a superhero. Like, is he famous?
That's the thing, is he's from the future. He's from this universe. He's just from the future. And now he's traveled back in time and he only was able to do that once apparently. So now he is in our timeline. He's not famous. But he's trying to just solve crimes to be famous.
I will say this, and I hate doing it. I will say this, that he does have, because I'm against Booster Gold, but he does. He's one of those characters. He was written for a very specific reason. He was written as the kind of the everyman, like you said, and he does have those. His stories usually start off with him doing something for very selfish reasons. And then he winds up doing the same things for selfless reasons by the end of the story. That's usually what happens.
Ultimately, he is still a superhero.
He's still a hero. So, he usually does things like that. So he's very much one of those heroes like, hey, we're going to go, hey, this crime happens on this day. I'm not mistaken, his robot Skeets has like a crime Bible from like all the historical crime events. Yeah, so he'll rattle off, hey, this is going down.
Yeah, he's a
and he'll go do it and stop it. And then take interviews, and all the other hero, like all the other Justice League members will be gone. He's like outside taking interviews, talking to people, kissing babies, that kind of thing. But at the end of the day, he always learns his lesson by some chance, and he does become a true hero in the fact that he does it selflessly.
I can just imagine John laughing right now at how hard we're trying to convince him to hate the role.
I'm doing my best to stay in the middle. I'm arguing both sides. I'm arming with facts.
I actually, now I like him even more. I thought the robot sounded kind of stupid, but I just, I'm imagining this as like another TV show that's going to start where he's got this robot that is, it's almost Minority Report, except it's a little bit like more realistic where like we know what's going to happen. You've got to be here. And then he's rushing off and he does it as like a jerk, but then he realizes that's another really human thing. I don't know.
He abuses animals.
I don't know.
Let's just...
What?
Yeah, I'm just going to throw that out there. I don't know if it's true. I'm just throwing it out there.
I think he did beat up Animal Man at one point, so you could technically count that.
Bam.
I don't know. I get it. That definitely throws a wrench into this one.
All right.
I will say this. The last point of contention I will say is... Skeets, while a robot, is a really stupid-looking robot. I will say that he looks like a rocket ship a five-year-old drew.
Wait, what? He's shaped like a rocket ship?
Yes, Skeets is shaped like a rocket ship. He's exactly what he looks like, a football with fins. He's a gold, black, and red football with fins. He looks really bad. The robot looks stupid, I will say that. But past that point, you can make your own opinion.
He looks a little off. I'm looking at pictures of him now. He really does look like a little rocket ship.
I suppose I've never offered this choice to somebody on this podcast because I've never been put in this position yet. I suppose you could possibly abstain.
I like him.
Oh.
All right,
Raffy, that's fair enough. All right, Raffy and Chris, you got one so far that decided to join your side.
Versus like the 80 or so that have come on the other side.
Out of all the other people. It has worked out for you. So, Jason, I'm sorry. That's all I have to say to you. Everybody is free to make their own decisions. Yours was just the wrong one.
Oh well.
All right. Well, I mean that's the last thing I had going for me. And on the very sad note now.
You can't win them all, Webby.
Yep.
Man.
Not everyone is gonna agree with you, I'm afraid. It's Curtin and I's battle about which Harley Quinn we should like best.
You should just love all
just
of
like
them.
All the Harley Quinns.
Yeah. Well, I do, but we argue about which outfit is better. So basically.
Is there any other questions for Jason, or are we ready to sign off?
I think we're good.
Devin?
Is there any questions that Jason wants to ask us?
Yeah, you know what? That's true. Never even thought about that.
that's how we pay John the big bucks.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Okay, so it
pays the big bucks.
If not Booster Gold, then who is the favorite superhero?
Ooh.
Ooh, mine personally from the DC universe, the Flash.
Oh, can I say it? Can I say it? Oh, you said it.
Sorry.
Yep, Flash for him. Devin?
That's an interesting question for me. It varies day to day, but I will say if I had to pick one, probably Constantine.
Oh. Interesting.
I love Constantine as a hero.
For me, it would be Wolverine because, well, Canadian. Mm. That's all you have to say.
Alpha Flight.
Alpha Flight, I like as well, but not as good as Wolverine. Come on. I'm sorry. Alpha Flight. I like the Guardian. I didn't really care for Sasquatch. Sasquatch was a lame. But give me Wolverine. And
I feel like we should dive deeper into this.
No, not this community. Not this podcast.
At some point, not right now.
Yes,
we will do a separate SU regarding John's Alpha decision Flight? Of liking the Alpha Flight.
There's nothing wrong with Alpha Flight. They're Canadian.
We could start a whole new spinoff. SU on the couch.
That's the
SU on the couch. And we just have we bring somebody in. They sit down.
Mental
and dump
examination.
Out. Exactly. This should work. I like this.
Why do you love Guardian? He should not be your favorite. Anyway, never mind. All right.
All right. Any other questions, Jason? That was easy.
No, that was an amusing enough question. Okay.
So, with that being said, John, where can people find you on the internet?
Oh, many places, but let's start with Twitter. You can find me at JONDMP, or you can find me at Welsh History Pod, or you can find me on Facebook/ Fate of Heroes, Facebook/ Welsh History Podcast, many, many other things and stuff.
You want to plug our live stream coming up in December?
Sure, I can do that. So the reason why we did this particular podcast, obviously, is we were talking about our fundraiser, which happens December 2nd and 3rd on this very channel, twitch.tv/distractionsmedia. It is a 24-hour live stream wherein we play video games, RPG games, basically shoot the breeze and talk about various subjects. All sorts of fun stuff, and we start at noon Eastern and go till noon the next day, and by the end of it, we're all tired and ready for bed, but it is a ton of fun.
Usually you stay for another 24 hours.
Except for Webby, who stays up for another 24 hours after that playing video games. Yeah. But not all of us are as hardy and as hardcore. And if you want to donate to that, you can donate at distractionsmedia.com/donations. Click on that donations button, and that'll take you to our Tiltify link, which actually has the payment donation process.
All right. Devin, where can people find you?
You guys can find me on Twitter at DMP_Pookie, and also on Twitch at Pooh Killed Me. POOKIELDME.
All right. And Jason, do you have anything you'd like to plug?
Yeah, absolutely. If you'd love to follow up with Anxiety Gaming and see what we're up to or where we're at any particular month, you can check us out on Twitter at Anxiety Gaming. You can follow us on Facebook as the same. If you want to see what I'm doing with my puppies or what other kind of random thing that I find myself at, it's at JDOCTON on Twitter. And I don't really do too much on Facebook, but I like the Facebook URL that was listed. My URL on Facebook is actually Empire Poppin' Rebels Droppin'. I managed to snag that one before.
Wow. Nice, nice. For the Legion will be looking for you sometime soon.
All right.
Five-0 first, you know.
As always, anyway, you guys can follow me on Twitter at JaxForestWalker, all one word. And feel free to go over to Facebook at facebook.com/simplyunprofessional and give us a follow, write comments. And if anybody wants to write an email for questions, comments, or future topic ideas, you can do so at simplyunprofessional@gmail.com. So until next time, guys. F booster gold for your PG rating, John.
Thank you, everybody, for coming along on the stream, and we'll talk to you all later. Take care. Go watch Tamara's stream. She's on right now playing Ark, as far as I know, Dance in the Abyss. Go check her out. Anyway, everybody, good night.
Good night, everyone. Thanks so much.
Night.